Title of our thoughts tonight, The Tables Turn. The Tables Turn. Take your Bibles, turn to Esther chapter 2. Esther chapter 2, though we'll be spending the evening in Esther chapter 6. But Esther chapter 2, beginning at verse 21, Esther chapter 2. It says, in those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen. And Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore, they were both hanged on a tree. And it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. And you say, well, why are we reading that if we're going to be in chapter 6? Well, we're going to find out here shortly. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this small book of Esther. And Lord, we thank you for the sovereignty of our Lord, who even though not mentioned is seen throughout the book. And Lord, we thank you that you are part of our lives no matter what comes. And we thank you for all that you provide. We ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. A few years after Esther has been made queen, two men, Bigthan and Teresh, became angry with King Ahasuerus, and these two men planned to assassinate him. Somehow, Mordecai learned of the plan to kill the king, and he made it known to his cousin, the queen. It's good to be related to royalty, isn't it? Yes. Aren't we all related to royalty, to King Jesus? Yes. The information was given to the right authorities, who upon investigation found Bigthan and Teresh guilty of treason, and they were hanged on a tree. Apparently, a record was made of the event, but Mordecai was not rewarded for doing his civic duty. Chapter 6, verse 1. On that night, following the banquet. Now, I don't know why he couldn't sleep. Anybody ever have problems with caffeine and not being able to sleep at night? Some of you might have that issue. And whatever, it says, on that night could not the king sleep. And he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And but what better way to get drowsy than to have the city records read? Now, you probably have all at one time or another had a night where you couldn't sleep, where you tossed and turned. And last night, I got up in the middle of the night to do, you know, what you do in the middle of the night. And Donna says, out of the darkness, she says, get me some warm milk. Well, I know what that meant. I mean, she couldn't sleep, right? Did it help you sleep? It didn't help, huh? Wow. But anyway, sometimes counting sheep or whatever can help us. I find that I try to pray. Anyways, to get drowsy, he had this, the records, the Chronicles, read, verse 2. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthan and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. Now in your mind's eye, see a king who has insomnia, who has palace records read to him. And they just happen to be of a record in which Mordecai saves the king from assassination. Do you think it was just by chance that this is what they read? Interesting, isn't it? Verse 3. And the king said, what honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, there is nothing done for him. Someone dropped the ball. Now, still in your mind's eye, see the king asking what was done to honor the man who had done this grand thing. Because don't you think the king appreciated the fact that this news was brought to him? I think so. So the answer, nothing was done to honor or celebrate this event for this person who had done this noble deed. I don't know that the king, who was in probably a bad frame of mind already because he couldn't sleep, I don't think he liked that idea. Verses 4 and 5. And the king said, "Who is in the court?" Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's servant said unto him, "Behold, Haman standeth in the court." And the king said, "Let him come in." It must have been a long, sleepless night because the king asks who is in the court. You mean, how early in the morning would Haman get there? And maybe it had been a long, sleepless night for Haman also, because he was the one pacing the court, waiting to see the king. Sleepless in Shushan. Sounds like a movie. Now, can you see him anxiously waiting to see the king? A heavy question on his mind. Hear him as he rehearses his speech. Quote, "You see, king, there's this thorn in my side. And as we're going to be executing all the Jews soon, I would like to take care of one today." "How?" "Well, you see, I'm having gallows made for that express purpose." "What's his name?" "Oh, nobody in particular, just one of your gatekeepers, Mordecai, by name." Now, while he's rehearsing what he's going to say, the door opens and Haman is ushered in before the king. Verse 6a. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, "What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor?" Before Haman can utter a word, the king asks him a question. What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now that sounds impressive, doesn't it? Wait a minute. Who is this person that the king would want to honor? Now, if you're Haman, who do you think he's going to think it is? Let's find out what it says in the rest of the verse, chapter 6, verse 6b. Now, Haman thought in his heart, "To whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself?" He thought in his heart, "The king is asking me what should be done to honor a man whom the king wishes to show his approval. How should I answer this?" Well, let us note Haman's answer. We'll begin reading at verse 7. And Haman answered the king, "For the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought, which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man withal whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, 'Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor.'" Haman thinks, "Wow, he's asked me. And I think I'm the guy he wants to honor. So, get the king's royal apparel." Would you say that it was probably pretty nice stuff? Would you say it's not something that you get from the average secondhand store? Would you say that it's not something off the rack? It's probably the royal tailor has made it up and it looks good. Then we have the king's royal horse. How many of you like to go horseback riding? Any of you here? Not too many of you. I enjoy horseback riding. I've had some bad instances with horses and whatnot, but I enjoy it. The king's royal crown. Now, can you imagine? You would need guards to protect the crown, wouldn't you? I mean, it's probably worth a lot of money. And so here we have the king's royal apparel, the king's royal horse, and the king's royal crown. Let it be delivered by the king's most noble prince. And let the thing being so honored, or the one being so honored, be walked through the city with the noble prince declaring, "Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor." Can in your mind's eye see how this is going to look? Someone is going to be leading the horse through the city. On the horse is a man dressed up like the king, right? And the man is shouting out, "This is what will be done to the man who the king wants to honor." Now from chapter 3, Haman has been having his own way. The king has okayed his plan to exterminate the Jews. He was the only one invited to Esther's banquet. He is about to ask that Mordecai be executed that day. Yes, it just gets better and better. I must be the one. You ever been on a roll and you really think, hey, everything's just going my way? Yeah, it's like when you play Monopoly and you keep landing in the right spots. And your opponents keep landing on your hotels. Don't you feel good when that's happening? Absolutely. Yes. Verse 10. Then said the king to Haman, "Make haste and take the apparel and the horse as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken." Do you think our Lord has a great sense of humor? Yes. Note, never think too highly of yourself. Never think too highly of yourself. For some, this is very difficult because it would seem that everything goes their way. Kind of like Tom Brady. Yes, boy, with 7 Super Bowls? Amazing. While for some it would seem that virtually nothing seems to go their way. Oh, we're not going to talk about Lions fans, are we? Yes. Make haste. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. So tell me, what do you think is going through Haman's mind at that very moment? Anger, frustration, embarrassment. I've got a headache, King. Can I go home? Can you get someone else to do it? I mean, he said the most nobleman. So you're the one. Verse 11. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse and arrayed Mordecai and brought him on horseback through the street of the city and claimed before him, "Thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor." Now maybe someone would have said, "Now say it like you mean it." Have you ever told your children, tell their sibling you're sorry? And you could tell that they weren't sorry. Yes. Say it like you mean it. Again, in your mind's eye, see Mordecai riding the king's horse, wearing the king's apparel, being led by Haman through the city with Haman calling out, that this man is being honored by the king. How many times do you think he had to make that statement as he walked him through the city? 10 times? 40 times? 100 times? And each time, Haman is getting sicker and sicker emotionally. Verse 12. And Mordecai came again to the king's gate. But Haman hastened to his house, mourning and having his head covered. Now, I believe that both men would have been embarrassed. Do you think that Mordecai really liked riding on the horse with them declaring, this is what we do to the man that we desire to honor? I think that would be embarrassing. And we know that Haman felt like a fool. Can I say that? Would you agree that he felt like a fool? And he returned home with his head covered in shame. You can imagine how he felt. Talk about losing your appetite. Oh, wait a minute. He's got a banquet to go to, doesn't he? Verse 13. And Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Can you hear him? As he goes into the house and he calls for his wife and he tries to tell her what he was planning to do and what he ended up doing, that instead of getting permission to hang Mordecai, he had to lead him through the city praising him. Can you hear him as he tells his friends and he shares the news of what has just occurred? Verse 13 continues, then said his wise men and Zeresh his wife unto him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against them, but shalt surely fall before him. They then prophesied that he had already begun to fall before his enemy. And they say, quote, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shalt surely fall before him. Thanks. Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks. You know, sometimes people want to predict your doom. I remember a number of years ago, Bob, when we were playing a double elimination playoffs, and we went into the final series with a team that hadn't lost either. And so we hadn't lost in the playoffs and they hadn't lost in the playoffs. And we won the first game. So that meant we only had to win one game and they had to win two. And as we went through the line shaking hands after our first victory, their coach said to me, you know we're the better team. And I looked at him and I said, yes, you are, but we won. And we played them again the next night, and we won again. Yes, I've never forgotten that. You know, sometimes people want to make you feel like you can't win when everything's really going your way. And Haman is suddenly realizing that nothing now is going his way. Verse 14, and while they were yet talking with him, that being Zeresh and his wise men, while they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlains and hasted to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther had prepared. While they were yet talking, everything is like this proverbial snowball rolling down the hill and he can't stop it. And if things weren't bad enough, they were going to get a whole lot worse. Then came the king's chamberlains to get Haman. Conclusion. We have probably all seen the popular poster that reads, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Have you seen one of those? Probably. Not so for Haman, who had begun the day with such high hopes. In fact, it would be the last day of Haman's life. Warning signals. But Haman was not listening. He was only thinking about himself. Now, raise your hand if you are glad that our Lord gives second chances. Are you glad that he gives us second chances? I'm glad. I'm glad. Ezekiel 33:11. As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. God's desire is that we will live. He's pro-life. Right from the very beginning, and he wants us to go into eternity with him. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. When the Egyptians came after the Israelites across the Red Sea, the Lord had no pleasure when they all were killed, when the sea came back together again. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering to us who are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We serve a merciful God. He's a loving God, but he is a just God, and he hates sin. And so sin has to be taken care of. Matthew 23:37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stoneth them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. You wouldn't do it. It reminds me of what we have in America today. We've been blessed beyond measure, and we don't have time for God. And the fact is, we need to take time out for God. On the basis of these three verses, we are safe in concluding that God's desire for sinners is not that they die, but that they turn from their sins and be saved. In Luke 15:7-10, it tells us that there is joy in heaven when a sinner what? Repents. There's joy in heaven when they repent. But remember this, the Lord will not force people to turn from their sins. He will not. He is willing, but he will not, as my dad often said, hog tie them and drag them to an altar. He wants them to come, but he won't make them come. As much as we detest Haman and his foul deeds, we must keep in mind that God loves sinners and wants to see them saved. Warren Wiersbe writes, God is long-suffering and brings various influences to bear upon people's hearts as he seeks to turn them from their evil ways, unquote. And I believe this, he brings things into our lives so that we will come back to him. You remember the prodigal son? He finally came to himself and said, hey, I need to go back because they get to eat better than I do. Now I'll go back and I'll tell them I'm not worthy to be called your son. But when he was a great way off, what did the father do? He ran, didn't he? Ran out to him. Our God wants to be in a right and good relationship with us. In this chapter, we find the Lord at work. In this chapter, notice, number one, the king's insomnia. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't want to be the one who has to take care of the king's health issues. And insomnia is a terrible thing if you ever have it. Number two, the king's choice of entertainment. I mean, of all the things he could have had done that night to help him through the night, who would have thought he'd have asked to have the Chronicles read? Number three, the servant's choice of books read. I mean, it was not by chance that of all the things that have been written down about Shushan the palace and all the things that happened, that this was one of the things that they would read about. Number four, the king's delay in rewarding Mordecai. Instead of it happening then, 2 or 3 years later, he reads about something and he says, what was done? Nothing? Number five, the timely arrival of Haman. Now, of all the people that could have been in the courtroom, of all the people that could have been there, it was Haman who has arrived right on time. Number six, the inflated ego of Haman. We must keep our egos under control, right? Yes. Do you think pastors ever have ego issues? Yes. Number seven, the advice given by Haman. Now, of course, Haman thought he was going to be the one to receive all these things, but it was his advice. Number eight, the praise rewarded Mordecai. Now, I don't know that Mordecai wanted it, but the Lord was telling Haman, hey, you're going to give it. You are the one who's going to do this for this man. Number nine, the disgrace of Haman. Can I ask you a question? Do you think there was going back for Haman? Could Haman have said, wait a minute, I see where this is going. This isn't good. King, let me explain some things. We've got to stop something. I made a mistake. Do you think Haman could have done that? I wonder. I mean, people make mistakes. You do make mistakes, don't you? Please let me know that I'm not the only one in the room that makes mistakes. Okay. Yes. Number 10. The prophecy prophesied. Remember, you've begun to fall and you shall not succeed. And number 11, the call to Haman's last meal. His last meal. And I don't remember Pastor Stephen, but I don't think he eats it. I think that he's going to get there, but I don't think he gets to eat it. When God sounds the alarm, it pays to stop, look, and listen, and obey. And it could be even in our lives right now, God may be sounding an alarm that, hey, you need to change something before it's too late. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again, as we've said, for the book of Esther. And Lord, we know what happened, but for those who were living at that time, experiencing it, it was a very difficult time. Lord, may we look to you during difficult times. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.